Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Old people are pushy. They don't have much time. They'll shove you at the coffee shop, cut ahead in the buffet line. They'll buy two for $1.50. Then they'll argue with the checkout girl. They've lived so much behind them, they're trying to slow down this goddamn world. Oh, people are pushing.
Send this one out to Knuckles, who I was thinking about this the other day. He's got to be the oldest host on TSN 690, right? Knuckles, older than Elliot? Hmm? I'm close, but I, you know, it's kind of a little comforting to know that at least a couple of hosts are older than I am. He is the host of Off the Cuff Daily here on TSN 690, slowly making his way to the Bell Center. He'll be in the box after the first period, as always. How are you, Chris Nyland?
I am good, Mitch Melnick. Here's the deal. You're sending that song out to me, and I could not even understand one word the guy was saying. What the hell?
It wasn't Bob Dylan. It was old people are pushy.
I can never understand a word he says that Bob Dylan.
It's not Bob Dylan. That was John Hyatt.
Whatever. I can't understand Bob Dylan or John Hyatt either.
I know.
It's like they got marbles in their mouth.
It's beyond you. You can hear them, but you just don't understand them, right?
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah. So yesterday at this place, Knuckles almost starts a fire. Four fire trucks show up. I was under the impression that these vapor cigarettes that wouldn't cause a fire, but I guess we were wrong.
No, they don't. I can't smoke in there anyway, vape the cigarettes. They won't let me anymore, so I don't.
Oh, you got the memo.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
Now, were you mocking me today about Alex Galchenyuk?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was.
And what were you?
You know, here's the deal. I remember when he got to play center, he was doing good. You're texting me, how's that? Look him go. What a centerman, blah, blah, blah.
Whoa. Yeah, he scored a hat trick.
When he wasn't playing well and he wasn't scoring and it was getting a little tougher, I never heard from you. And I'm like,
I was in Los Angeles. I wasn't even watching.
No excuses. Don't give me that rolling rate. Yeah. Apply. You can text.
Yeah.
Okay?
Can you hear what he's saying or does he sound like Bob Dylan right now? I can't understand a word he's saying.
You can't. Oh, good.
Yeah. No, he scored a hat trick. I think that night. After that night, I said, "So how's the young centerman look to you?" Right?
Yeah.
And you said something about it's about time. It's his third year.
It's about time. It's his third year. And also, I said that he is going to have a tougher time as it goes on. It's great he's at home. They're going to start the match against him on the road. It's going to get more difficult. And he's going to be so focused on not getting scored against and times down in his own end, you know, it's going to take him longer to get out of there. By the time he gets up at the other end of the rink, he's not going to be as fresh and he's going to not be as effective offensively.
So if there's an NHL player who has gone through what Alex Galchenyuk is going through, it's probably this guy here.
I think it's a different responsibility and a different opportunity here in Dallas. You know, it's kind of a third-line winger there in Boston most of the time. And here I get to play my natural position and obviously more minutes, but, you know, more responsibility. And I look at that as an opportunity. And, you know, I've just grown my game and matured as a player.
Not a bad role model on the ice, Tyler Seguin.
Look at this team. I think time, and it's good he's plus one, but this team, they score three goals a game. They give up 3.26 goals a game, too. So defensively, they're not that good. And, you know, he is a great offensive player. But it takes time for players like that to be effective in both ends of the ring. And again, we're not looking for perfection here from Alex Galchenyuk down the road defensively. It's just they don't want him to be such a liability where he's going to make glaring mistakes in big games that's going to cost the team. That's all. And he's going to get there. It's just when. Well, and I think maybe next year they're going to commit to it and say, listen, we'll start the season out. You're playing center. That's it. If you don't like it, go back home to either the U.S. or Russia.
So since being moved back to the wing before the break, he scored 2 goals, 3 points in the two games that he played. So clearly he's there for the short term. Does that alter Mark Bergevin and his staff the way they think over the next month heading into the trade deadline?
I don't believe so unless they're looking for a sentiment. You know, and I don't think they are. I think they'd look for maybe another goal scorer, top six forward, and maybe another D to plug holes. They'd like a big, tough D. They have one in Hamilton. They don't think he's ready. They may need one of them, like an Alexei Yellen type. And you have one, but you got to get him playing the way he was before. But I don't know if it alters it so much. I think Mark Bergevin knows what he has here as far as that nucleus, and he don't want to mess with that, I don't think. That's why I don't think we're going to see a big trade. We could, but I think to get anybody really worthwhile that's going to, like that top six forward, that goal scorer that can help Max, I think you're going to have to give up a warm body of that nucleus and maybe a draft pick. And I don't know if he wants to mess with his idea or, like, I want to build this team. I think he's done such a great job so far in the few years he's been here that if he messes up now and makes this big deal and it doesn't work out the way he would like it to, he messed with the chemistry of the team and the growth in the direction they want to go. I don't think he's willing to risk that. I think he's going to make smart little moves that can help. They can add to the depth, but maybe not that blockbuster deal, if you know what I mean.
So last year it was a relatively low-risk, high-reward move to trade for Vanek, right, Chris? A second-round pick,
yeah.
And Kolberg. No, Kolberg wasn't going to be a core player. If something similar came up, whether it was Jagr or someone else, and again the price was similar, middle to low prospect and a second- or third-round pick, that's the type of deal you think he would explore.
Yeah, like a Jagr? Listen, here's the deal. Could that guy help this team in the stretch run and into the playoffs? Undoubtedly. Listen, he's a big kid. He can control the puck. He's good on the power play, all those things. For a short-term deal, to stick your finger in the dike and, plug a hole somewhere, I think it's a good deal because, again, the money risk isn't there. And the only thing with him is, if I'm Mark Bergevin, why are you still playing? It's not really for the money because I think he got enough. Is he trying to get some type of record? Does he really want to win the Stanley Cup? Is he going to be effective here? Will he throw the balance of this team off with his attitude? Or is he going to come in and have a good attitude and really help some of the younger guys? Those are all questions he has to answer and know before he makes a move like that.
Chris, before he started bouncing around towards the end, I think those were legitimate questions about Jaromir Jagr. But anybody who's followed him, number one, he still got it. He scored a hat trick a few weeks ago. Oldest guy ever to score a hat trick. He works harder than players half his age. He has to, but he's putting in the work. He loves being at the rink. I don't see any downside to this.
Yeah, I guess honestly, when you really look at it, I hear what you're saying. And again, he's not, he doesn't have that blinding speed. He never did, but he's smart. He's effective. And when he gets the puck on his stick and he sticks his ass out and protects the puck, he's real good at it. Now, how many guys do the Canadians have that do that? How many guys that can really do that on this team? They're talking about wanting big forwards and all that, that are capable of doing that in the playoffs. I think he could do it. There's no question he could help the team. As long as you get a positive Jaromir Jagr here, to help, then that's a good thing, I guess.
All right. After the game tonight, is Michel Therrien going to say good things about P.K. Subban?
Who knows? Who knows what he'll say? You know, the coach, I know one thing. The coach said, we have depth. We have depth, no?
We have to focus on playing our team system. That's number one. And if we do that, that's going to limit their time and space and the amount of speed that they can come out, generate coming out of their zone. So, but as a defenseman, I think you just got to be aware of when those guys are on the ice and just try to take away their time and space.
I have a feeling PK is going to pick up where he left off prior to the All-Star break. He's well rested. He had his game of the year against Nashville, and I think we're going to see that tonight.
I think we could too. Listen, mentally and physically, getting that rest is a good thing. I know PK's hungry to get back. He wants to fight hockey. Come on, you know, he just finished with such a great game, goal and assist. He's really starting to see the PK some nights we saw in the playoffs last year. The one in Boston, the one who really stepped up and turned that series on its ear for Boston. And, you know, these are two teams with speed, okay? I look at the Islanders game before the break there. You know, it was a pretty wide open game. Huh? A lot of speed, not a lot of whistles. I would kind of expect something like that tonight, but coming off the break, you know, teams tend to be a little sluggish coming off a break. Especially 5 days off, they're in Florida laying on the beach drinking pina coladas, banana smoothies, and banana daiquiris. So, you know, he might be a little sluggish at the start, but what's new for the Canadians?
Well, what was that last drink? Sound like Bob Dylan
again. Banana daiquiri or whatever, I don't know. That's Bob Dylan.
Are you older than Elliot or not? Do you know?
I'm not sure. I was born in 1958. I'll be 57 years old February 9th.
Wow.
So anybody who wants to send me a birthday gift, February 9th.
Right around the corner. Okay.
Well, how old is Elliot?
He's older than you.
What are you, 56?
Not yet.
The fact of the matter is both of you look way older than me. That's the thing.
See you later. Thank you.
All right, bye. Bye.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.